Easter, when you come to think about it, has a lot to do with death. And death, no matter how you look at it, is not a pretty sight. It was this very month, on the 4th of the month in 1981. It was a rainy day. It was a Saturday. I was at my friend's house when the call came through. My friend had ridden his motorbike on the way home from work, and he was two streets away when, because it was raining, he ended up mounting the gutter. He hit a brick wall, he was critical, and died soon after, days away from his 21st birthday. It was January 1989. I was on holidays from Bible College on the South Coast when a call came from a relative in Canberra. My 20-year-old nephew had committed suicide. It was the very first funeral that I ever took. It was April 2001 and the call came late at night. It was a parishioner from a church that I used to be at in Wollongong. The previous day, their 22-year-old son had drowned at a beach near Wollongong. How can we account for such things? What sense can we make of life when death comes along? Well, death has to throw up questions because death is, as Paul describes, the last enemy. Death is the great destroyer, and in the face of it, we might think that there are no answers, that death will have the last laugh, and therefore there is nothing better that we can do than to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may well die. Well, Mary and Martha confronted death when they discovered that Lazarus, their brother, was dead. Amidst their grief and anguish, no doubt, they too would have been looking for answers. When Lazarus was sick, they thought that they had an answer. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Jesus had been a great miracle worker. He had turned water into wine. He had healed the sick. If he had done it for strangers, then he could do it for their brother, who was Jesus' friend. There would be hope. So we read in John 11, verse 3, that the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Sending word with great anticipation, with great hope. With life, there was hope. And with Jesus as their friend, there was good reason to hope. But by the time Jesus got there, all hope was extinguished. Death had the final word, or so it seemed. Lazarus was dead and had been so for 4 days. The sisters no longer had any answers. The time for solutions was over. So when Jesus turns up on the scene, both sisters say to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Many of us would have known people who were sick that longed to find the doctor who could have cured them, but who suffered from diseases which couldn't be cured. And we hear of people flying halfway around the world to visit some doctor in the slim hope that a different treatment approach will bring some good. But think of Mary and Martha with Jesus. His credentials were pretty impressive. They knew what he could do. He had performed the impossible. They were convinced if he had only got there in time, their brother would still have been alive. He only had to get there. So imagine their disappointment. Jesus could have stopped Lazarus dying, but once he was dead, it was too late. Not even Jesus would have an answer for this. For death destroys, and when it comes along, every part of our being wants to cry out that it shouldn't be like this. We are meant for life, and death comes along and wipes it out. And we want to attack it. We want to take it on head on, but we know we are powerless. Death is a powerful enemy. Well, for the sisters, all the hope that they had for the present was gone. But was there any hope at all? Were there any answers to be found? We'll have a look at verses 23 and 24 of John chapter 11. It's on 106:3. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha had hope for a future life. She had a belief in God's people being raised at the resurrection, at the end of time. See, this was part of God's people's beliefs. And here she was expressing faith in this belief. This was a true statement. It was a right and proper belief. But Jesus wants to expand her horizons. And in so doing, he draws attention to himself. So have a look with me at verses 25 and 26, where Jesus says to her these famous words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." You see, he claims to be the one who gives hope for life beyond the grave. He says, if you believe in me, you will live. Death won't be the end. He says, if you live and believe in me, it's as if you don't even die. Martha had hope of God's people being raised one day, and here Jesus comes along and says, you know why you can have such a hope? It's because of me. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, some of us here this morning might be looking for answers in life. For others, we might think that we have them, or at least the ones that we want. But friends, as we reflect on death, what answers do we have? What answers do you have? Do I have? Well, in Jesus, there was a guy who 2,000 or more years ago claimed to have answers in the face of death. And he throws down the gauntlet to Martha by saying, "Do you believe this?" See, he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this?" And she responds in verse 27 by saying, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." She believed that much, but what it all meant she was yet to find out. Well, let's follow the story. Jesus, after mourning for his friend, after grieving as you and I grieve, yes, Jesus was truly human. He grieved, he wept. He comes to the tomb, a tomb with a stone laid across the entrance. And he says, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. You see, Jewish belief was such that the soul was thought to hover about the body for 3 days. But once it saw that decomposition had set in, the soul was thought to depart. And it was now 4 days. The soul would have been gone. The body would smell. But Jesus says in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And then in verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And what happens? Verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The one who claimed to be the resurrection and the life had just demonstrated that very fact. Death is the last enemy. Death is the great destroyer. But here we see someone who destroys even death. What is taking place here is no less than the death of death. The end of death. No more must it have a stranglehold over someone. This is the last of the signs that Jesus performed before his death and resurrection. And in verse 4, we are told the purpose of this sign. He said to his disciples, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Saying that it is for God's glory is not just saying that God will be praised, but it says that in the sign something will be revealed of God's glory. And this revelation is closely linked with his Son. It's so that his Son may be glorified. And so it is a sign that points to the fact that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And if Jesus is God, then we must respond appropriately. In verse 15, he says to his disciples that Lazarus was dead, and for their sake he was glad that he wasn't there, so that they may believe. on seeing the sign, they were expected to believe. We haven't seen the sign, but you could have if you were there at the time. But we have it recorded for us so that we too might believe. But as great as this sign was, there was something even greater still to come. What happened on that first Easter day was even greater than what happened with Lazarus. Lazarus was merely resuscitated. Yes, he was brought back to life, and what an incredible miracle. But only for a time. He would eventually die again. But Jesus was resurrected. He was raised never to see death again. And at this very moment, he sits at the right hand of God. And so as we come face to face this morning with Jesus destroying death, we have to ask ourselves the same question that Jesus asked Martha. Do we believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? At the end of John's story of his gospel, we read why he wrote his book. And we read, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. After Jesus performed this miraculous sign, naturally enough, some believed in him. Verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But there were also some who, having seen this sign, rejected him and went about plotting his downfall. You see, people could even see someone raised from the dead and still they would not believe. But this sign has been recorded for us so that we might believe, and by believing, have life in his name. A life which has hope beyond the grave. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son came into the world having everything, but he gave up everything to come and to die for us. We thank you, Father God, that in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that there is hope for life beyond the grave. That in that Easter event, we see the death of death. Help each of us this morning to ask ourselves that question. Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And not to rest until we have answered that question. And Father God, we thank you that if we do put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that we have hope for life now, and beyond the grave, eternal life. Amen.